Welcome to The Heart Zone, a podcast ministry of Kernsville Christian Church, featuring the teaching ministry of George Cannon. For more information about Kernsville Christian Church, visit us on the web at www.kernsvillechristian.org. And now, for a message from The Heart Zone, here's George.
All right, guys, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. We're going to start into chapter 5 today. And so what we've been doing with our series through Mark is we want to get to know Jesus. We want to understand who he is. We want to understand how he interacts and what he's done for us. But we're also wanting to understand how people are reacting to him. So as we've seen in chapter 4, we saw that there are different types of people and they react to Jesus differently. And he tells us about that. And he also tells us about those who respond to him in such a way they produce in their life the fruit that he wants to produce in their life. So as we get into chapter 5 now, he's started by sharing some little stories of some interactions that he had. So today we're going to get into a story that maybe a lot of us are familiar with. Most of the Gospels refer to it as where he comes in contact with a demon-possessed man named Legion. Now, we know the story, and we're going to talk a little bit about what Jesus did with him, but what I also want you to do is, I want you to look at what we don't normally look at. I want you to look at how people react to Jesus and what he does. Okay? I want you to notice how people react to him. That includes the man who's going to be healed, and it definitely includes the people who are from the area in which this man lived. And I want you to notice, ultimately, what Jesus is doing with them. Okay? So let's look together. Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 5. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs. No one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. He had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him, crying out with a loud voice, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adore you by God. Do not torment me. For he was saying this to him, Come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, What is your name? He replied, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, Send us to the pigs and let us enter them. So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down a steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it to the city and in the country. And the people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man who had had Legion sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. Isn't that interesting? As they were getting into the boat, the man who was possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went his way and began to proclaim in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Now, this is an interesting story because what we're going to see here is that Jesus gets in a boat and he goes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. We assume that he's still in Israel, but actually he's in the same area of Palestine and so forth. He goes to the other side of the Sea of Galilee and he goes to a country that is inhabited by Gentiles. They're not Jews, so they have no clue about who Jesus is or about the stories about Jesus. So he's going over to an area which we would call pagan, okay? So he gets out of the boat, and guess what happens? Here comes a guy who is possessed by many demons, that's why he's called Legion, and who lives among the tombs. And he's been oppressed and been hurt and been very much suppressed through life, but he's living basically out of his mind among the tombs and in the mountains. Now, it's interesting because in the interaction, we see a couple of things. We see how this guy reacts to Jesus, and you're saying, well, it's the demons reacting. Well, yes, it's the demons plus the guy. We're going to explain that in a moment. But we're also going to see how the people from that area react. And from that, we're going to understand some things about how people react to Jesus. But I want you to see, finally, how Jesus responds and what he tells this guy who's been blessed by Jesus, what he needs to do. So let's take a look at this together. Let's talk about the reality in verses 1 through 8. We're going to kind of divide it up into three sections. We're going to talk about life experience. Does everybody understand what I mean by that, life experience? Here's the first point I want you to see. You are the product of your experiences. Do you realize that? You are the product of your experiences. So for instance, all of you were raised in a family, right? With mom and dad, or maybe a single parent or whatever. You were raised and you were raised a certain way. And in that time of childhood, you formulated the things that you do based upon your experiences that you experienced and so forth. So I remember very clearly, I remember my dad was in Vietnam. This is 1968. He's over there. We're living in Greenville, North Carolina in a trailer park near Pitt Plaza. It's still there today. They had a Roses. That's the first Roses I ever had. We had one here for a little brief moment in Clearfield. You guys. All right, so anyhow, they had a Roses. And Mom was barbecuing on a grill. Now, back then, they didn't have gas grills, or definitely Mom couldn't afford one. We had a charcoal grill. And so she was cooking burgers or something, and then the charcoal went down, and I, at that point, would have been 2 or 3 years old, okay? I saw that it was all white dust, ashes. And I don't know why, but for some reason, I decided to put my hand in it. Well, underneath all of that ash were what? Hot coals, and so I burned my hand, okay? And so I remember my mom, last experience I remember thinking about that is my mom taking care of my hand. Now, let me explain something to you. Since then, I don't touch hot things. Why? Because I experienced that, right? You are a product of your experiences. Some of us are products of our family experiences and so forth. So we won't do certain things because our family won't do those things, right? That's true for all of us. So I remember when I first married Lori and I was pastoring in Canada, she used to get so frustrated with me driving at night. And when somebody would come up and basically be tailgating me and I would be acting nervous and stuff and looking in the back, and she would be like, what in the world? Just pull over. And, you know, and she would just be fussing at me. Why do you act that way? Well, what she didn't know was when I was in college, I had been rear-ended 3 different times. And when you get rear-ended, you're always nervous about who's what? Coming behind you, right? I was a product of my experiences. Still that way to the day. And I still get fussed at. So the reality is, You're a product of your experiences. This guy is a product of his experiences. What do you mean? Well, look at the passage, okay? Look at what he went through. He didn't just go through a demon possession. He went through, let's be honest with you, because people didn't know what to do with him or how to handle him. The scripture very clearly tells us that, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, verse 5, and he would wrench the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. He was not treated well, to the point that they would bind him like he was a prisoner, to quote, get control of him. You could say that this guy didn't really have a good experience. In fact, scripture tells us here that he would be night and day among the tombs on the mountains, screaming and yelling. You would say, well, that's obviously mental health. It's the demons there that's take place in this guy's life. And so this is the next point I want you to see. We see things through the actions of others. What do you mean? So Jesus immediately sees this person. Look at what he says. It's not just the demon saying this. Verse 7, What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Now, the only reason why he knows that he's the Son of the Most High God is the demons know that. But look at the next part. I adore you by God. Do not torment me. His experience in life, he's expecting what from some people? He's expecting what he's always experienced from people. Something kind of negative experience, torment. It's not just the demons who are saying that, but he's saying that. He thinks that Jesus is going to do him some harm. Do you understand? And listen to me, folks, I find this to be true. You and I could sit there and share about our faith and share about how great God is in our lives and what he's doing for us and the answers that he brings in our lives and the comfort he brings to us when we're distressed. And some people, can I be honest with you, you may be wondering when you share with them, they're like, they don't see it that way. They maybe had some sort of negative experience in church before. That does happen, right? Negative experiences do happen in church or with church people. Or maybe they think that God disappointed them before, and why would God do that for you, but God didn't do that for me? They're a product of their own experiences, but they're also a product of how others have treated them. We understand where this guy's at. He's basically looking at things through his life experiences. So here's the result. The result is a misunderstanding about God. The result is a misunderstanding. That's why he says, are you here to torment me? Well, you and I know from the passage, Jesus isn't interested in tormenting the guy. He's interested in freeing the guy, right? He's interested in bringing healing to the guy's life. And you and I, when we share with others about Christ, they may have a very negative perception about who God is because they think God is out to squash them. But all they see is through their past experiences. See, this is what the passage is bringing out. We see a reaction here, and it's because there's a misunderstanding. It's based on their life experiences. Well, we know what the passage shares. Jesus obviously sends out this legion into the pigs, and of course the pigs have a lot better sense than the human being. They kill themselves. They run down the bank and go into the Sea of Galilee and kill themselves. But the herdsmen, who are not Jewish, who what they're seeing is totally beyond their experience. They've never had any interaction with Jesus or even know who he is. They see this and they get what? Scared and afraid, and they run. They flee. So this is the next thing I want you to see about how people react. And what I want you to see here is the issue of fear. Fear. I'll never forget it. It will always be etched in my mind. We used to have a program here at the church on Tuesday nights that we opened it up to the community, to the young people to come and play games. We fed them. And I remember when we were here that Tuesday afternoon, I was doing something at the front of the church and I was adjusting a sign that had fallen down. And I walked down here and there was a young man standing outside the door, teenager. And he kept looking through the door at all the kids playing ping pong and everything else and having a good time. And I said to him, you know, you can go in there. You're invited to go in there. And he looked at me and he said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Now, I'm like, you're afraid? Afraid of what? The church. He didn't understand church. He had no concept of church. Is that possible? Folks, we live in an age today where there are people who have no clue what even goes on, and he was afraid. And I said to him, it's going to be okay, buddy. If you go inside, they'll give you something to eat. There's a good meal there. And boy, did they feed them good on those nights. And then he went and interacted and had a great time. People don't understand God. They are fearful about God, right? These people didn't understand what was going on. I want you to see three things here. Here's what I want you to see. First of all, the unknown creates fear within your heart. The unknown creates fear within your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just a natural reaction. You're in a situation you don't know anything about. You're going to have what? Fear, right? Fear. You know, you don't know what's going to happen, so you're afraid, okay? So I remember an experience in my life. Some of you have had this experience too. I remember when I enlisted, okay? And I was in the reception center. And even though I grew up in the military, even though my dad was an Army man, sergeant, we lived on military bases, I was around soldiers all of my life. So here I am, I have joined now, and I go to the reception center and I do all the things they're giving you, shots in both of your arms and then cutting off all your hair and giving you uniforms and stuff. Then I got into what they call a cattle car, and they took me at Fort Jackson to my training company. And then all of a sudden we got there, and all of a sudden these drill sergeants came in, and I was scared and afraid. Why? Because it was the unknown. I didn't know what I was going to experience, and it was fearful the entire time I was there because of the unknown. You didn't know what to expect. That's natural. These guys who are sitting there, the herdsmen, they see 2,000 pigs go berserk and run off and kill themselves, and the guy who used to be possessed and crazy is now in his right mind, wondering what in the world, this is new to them, and what do? Run. They flee. Because the unknown is fearful to them. Here's the other thing I want you to see. The misunderstanding of what had happened created fear. That whole situation created fear in their life. Think about some of the things we say to people, all right? Especially if they're not from a Christian background. We'll sit there and we'll talk about how God did things, and it's very real to us. But for somebody who hasn't got a clue, it's like, what in the world are they talking about? Think about it for a moment. In fact, they might even get fearful talking to you. You mean God does that? Really? Here's the third thing I want you to see. The unexplained causes you to push away God. So these guys go back, they tell the city, this is what just happened. Everybody goes out to this area where Jesus is with this guy who's just been healed of this demon possession. They probably see the pigs floating in the sea. Then they look over at the guy that they used to bind, trying to get control of, and they see that he's in his right mind. Obviously, he's clothed now. So, and they're like, Can you please leave? This is more than we can handle. Can you leave? Think about that for a moment. They know who the demon-possessed guy is. He's in the mountain screaming at night, right? They've seen him probably being bound before and breaking out of the chains and everything. They see the torment he's lived under. And now he's in his right mind. And then they see the result of him being healed. Of course, the pigs dying and everything. Rather than like checking out Jesus and understanding who it is, what do they tell him to do? Can you leave? Can you leave here? It's fear. See, this is what Mark's trying to get us to understand, okay? Two things here, all right? He's wanting you and I to understand, because what we're doing is we're getting to see who Jesus is. We're understanding the level of compassion and love that he has, and we're seeing him do some amazing things. So, by the way, casting out several thousand demons out of a dude who possessed 2,000 pigs and then go off and kill themselves because the guy's bringing healing, that's a pretty spectacular thing. Jesus obviously is somebody beyond what we can comprehend, right? But yet he's compassionate. And so the reality is that it blows our mind that people don't want to have anything to do with that or with him. I'm just letting you know, we've already seen it before. Some people just don't want to have anything to do with him. But that doesn't change who Jesus is. So Mark tells us one other thing happens now. Jesus listens to the guys and they decide to get back in the boat and leave. But when that happens, look at what the passage says. Look with me at verse 18. And you understand why this happens. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. Wouldn't that make sense? I mean, you've been, who knows for how long, running through the mountains, half crazed, naked, bound by chains, broke those chains, who knows what. I mean, you're out of your mind, you're screaming at night, you're being tormented by these demons, but by humans as well. And the guy who brings sanity back to you is getting ready to leave. What do you want to do? You want to go be with him, right? You want to have that interaction with him. You want to see. So here's what I want you to see. The one who was changed wanted to stay with Jesus. He wanted to stay with Jesus. I want you to think about that for a moment, okay? When Jesus reaches down into your life, and he will, when you come to him and you realize who he is, what he's done for you, and all you have to do is just go to him and say, Jesus, I believe, and he changes you, he changes you. And then you see him interact in your life. And you continue to see him interact in your life. You just want to be with him. You want to be close to him. That's just a natural reaction, right? When you see God working in your life, you want to be with him. And folks, he will interact in your life. And he wants to interact in your life. So this guy's reaction, that's a normal reaction. But I want you to notice, here's what Jesus does, though. He doesn't say, come on, get in the boat, we're going to go somewhere. He tells the guy, no. He tells him to do something. Look at what it says there, verse 19. And he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. See, here's the point I want you to see. However, Jesus told him to share with others what God had done for him. That's what he wants from us. He just doesn't want you to have your personal time with Jesus where you see him doing great things in your life. He wants, are you ready for this? He wants you to share with others what Jesus is doing. And that same Jesus who did this in that guy's life is there to do it in other lives. He's there to interact with you the way he wants to interact with everyone else. And they begin to see him do things and realize, yes, you are real. Yes, you do answer prayer. He's wanting us to share. Isn't that what he talked about last week when we looked at the different parables that he gave about the responsibility that we have when we see the kingdom of God? It benefits others. How does it benefit others? When you have that relationship with Jesus, how does it benefit others? You tell others about Jesus and how he wants to interact in their lives. In fact, isn't that what he called us to do? He called us to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We call it evangelism. Just so you understand, the key part of evangelism is you sharing about the Jesus who interacts in your life. Some of you won't do that because you're afraid I'm going to be asked a question that I don't know how to answer. That you're not asked to answer questions. You're asked to just simply share about who? About the Jesus who's real to you, right? And about what he's done for us. See, this is what Mark wants us to see. Mark is understanding that there are some people, they see things through their life experiences, through negative things that have happened to them. There's other people that are driven by fear. I don't want to have anything to do with that. But what he wants us to see is that when you get touched by Jesus, and he will touch you, it creates in you a desire to want to be with him. And what he says is, okay, yeah, I'm not ready for you to be with me right now. You've got something you need to do. You need to tell others. You need to tell others about me. Because we all know the end of the story, right? What end of the story? Eventually that guy would be with Jesus, right? When he went home to be with the Lord. So he went and told. So let me ask you a question. What are you doing with Jesus? What are you doing with him? Is it fear that's keeping you, or is it your life experiences, church? Look, I can tell you, if it wasn't for church people, Jesus would have a better name sometimes, right? But that's not Jesus. And he wants to what? Interact in your life and the life of others around you. And if he has, you have a responsibility. Tell others about him. Let me pray for you.